It is good. We are all here in God's house once again. On this, the 5th of June, and I will speak to you from the lower pulpit, the stage, as I have a few transparencies. The first is a repeat announcement. You see, I've heard it. I know you heard it. But I think there are some things you do not know. Dr. Carl Whelan gave up a lucrative practice as a general practitioner in order to take up the ministry of spreading the word that we did not come from evolutionism. God created, so that is his life ministry. He is flying here shortly, 5,000 kilometers. Can you travel perhaps 5 kilometers to come to hear him? The date is 26 June. That is just 3 weeks to go. You say it's in the evening. I got family business, family dinner, all kinds of things. I say, dear friends, it's a matter of value. What do you consider to be important? I want to impress all of us here. Unless and until you come to value the sanctity of the Lord's Day, your Christian life is incomplete. Incomplete. Lacking something. So come. Now the creation message, as I have shared with you from time to time, has turned many an intellectual away from the falsehood of evolutionism to the truth of God, that God made us. And this message turns men and women to faith in the Lord Jesus, the Creator. 5:45, 15 minutes earlier. Can I urge you to sacrifice 15 minutes of your spare time, leisure time, wasted time, come to the Lord's house? So much for this announcement. Now today's message, and I will try and be very brief. What is the theme of today's message? It is called the narrow faith. And I have condensed the message into 3 points. How about that? You like it? Just 3 points. And it's easy to remember. First point is the theme. You ought to know the theme of what we are here for, what I'm speaking about and what you are listening to. The theme is plain and simple, the gospel. You say, that's old hat, I've heard it so many times. Truly, if you have heard it and you know so much, why won't you come and tell us all about it? Dear friends, revision is the secret of learning. And I'm here to talk to you about the grand old theme, the gospel of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one theme that will keep us going in all eternity. Please understand, when we all get to heaven, we will be praising the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who saves us and gives us a future and a meaningful Lord's Day. Second point. First point is the theme, the gospel. Second point, the church. The result of the gospel as a seed sown in the hearts of men is a response. like you and I. We heard the gospel, now we are here. We formed the church. So the point number two is the church, not here in Singapore, the church in Corinth. And the third point is the one who brought the gospel there, the most important character in this story I'm telling you today. Who is he? Who brought the gospel there to the people in Corinth some 2,000 years ago? Oh, dear friends, you all know him, the Apostle Paul. So that is 3 points. Can you remember? First point, the theme is the gospel. Second point is the church at Corinth. And third point is the gospel messenger, Paul the Apostle. I have here an OHB. Corinth is a well-known city, a principal city of Greece. It's not far from Athens. Athens is well better known as the capital of Greece. But Corinth was a principal city known for its great commerce and culture. A very prosperous city as well as a very wicked city. Does it ring a bell when you hear this? I would like to suggest to you that Singapore is not far from Corinth in terms of likeness. Great commercial center, cultural center, and very affluent. So was Corinth. So affluent is known for luxury, just like Singapore. Did you read Straits Times yesterday? It says the greatest concentration of millionaires in the world is in Singapore. I never knew that. Who are the millionaires? Are there any among us? I don't know. But with the growth of money and the growth of affluence, there is an increase in pleasure and luxury and fine living. And with it comes, can you guess what? Vice and sin. Pleasures of the flesh. So these are the things that characterize the city of Corinth. So much so that the word Corinthian carried a bad reputation, a bad connotation. So never be called a Corinthian. Corinth is well known for its temple. Today the temple is in ruins. This is not the temple, but this is a sample. Can you imagine 2,000 years and plus ago? Human beings without the modern technology and machines managed to do this and build pyramids with pieces of rock, 2 to 5 tons each, carried up 500 feet to the top of the pyramids. Now these are similar, except it's not 500 feet. This is just 50 or 60 feet. These are the ruins of the temple. What was the temple for? The most famous was the temple of Aphrodite. Ever heard of the word hermaphrodite? One is who is supposed to be half female and half male. Hermes, Aphrodite, joined together, hermaphrodite. Half male, half female. Now, the most famous temple was called Temple of Aphrodite. The goddess of love. And love read better lust, not love. For we must understand that the common usage of the word love has debased and brings connotations of sin and corruption. So Corinth was well known for its temple. What is so well known about that temple that all the men flocked there to worship? Do you know? Prostitutes. It had 1,000 religious prostitutes of Aphrodite. The men who went there also had a pleasurable time. How evil and how terrible. Now today we are here to talk about the narrow Christian faith. Some people think, oh, to be a Christian is so restrictive and so terrible. How can I stand it? My dear friends, we must think beyond the words of the gospel. And I want you to please turn with me to read what the Lord Jesus himself taught us in the famous Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and there we're going to hear the Christian faith is a narrow way. Here it is on the wall. Christian faith is a narrow way, but please, when you travel anywhere, any road, you always consider the destination, right? If not, you don't make the trip. From here, after church, you get out, you get onto the road. Destination is home, or wherever you are going. That is what matters, not the trip itself. There is a narrow way that leads to life. Life with God is life everlasting. No matter how good your life on earth is, at the end of it, you say, I want more. But there is a time coming when you get no more. It's come to the end. Then what do you get? Life with God has no end. No worries, no troubles, no sorrows, no sickness, no death. Life eternal. A life that we cannot understand today fully, except we know all earth wars are over once and for all. Now read with me. The book of Matthew, or the Gospel of Matthew, the good news that Jesus Christ brought to us. What does he say to you today? Chapter 7. Verse 13, please understand, these are the words of God to poor creatures such as you and I, groping on earth, wondering what to do, where to go. And Jesus says to you, listen carefully, enter in at the straight gate, the word straight, S-T-R-A-I-T. Please, it sounds like the straight, S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. But it doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean it at all. It means a narrow, restrictive gate. So narrow that if you're too fat, you can't get through. All right? That gives you an idea, the thought that those who are too rich, full of the things of the world, cumbered with all these things, they're too cumbersome, they can't get through. If that is their life, alright. Straight. S-T-R-A-I-T means narrow, restrictive. And that is the theme. The first point about today's message is the gospel, which is the straight and narrow faith Jesus says, enter in at this gate. There are two gates for you to choose. Enter in at the narrow gate of Jesus Christ. The other gate is the broad gate, big and very attractive, the gate of the world. Two choices for all of us. Thank God you have chosen the narrow, the straight gate. Now read on. Wide is the gate, broader the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many that go in thereat. True? Absolutely. You don't have to go very far. You don't have to have very high IQ. You just open your eyes and see, why is it so few people believe in the gospel and go to church on Sundays? Why? Because the gate of the world is very broad. You don't need much of discipline. All you need is a physical desire to enjoy life, and you are there. Everybody loves it. You just run in. And you don't have shortage of companions. Everybody loves it. That is the broad gate and the broad way. Verse 14. Now comes the crunch. As I said, not the way itself, but the destination. The final station where you end your journey is what matters. And that is what we want to consider this morning. Verse 14 says, straight is the gate, narrow, restrictive. And narrow is the way which leadeth to life. Few there be that find it. Absolutely true, don't you think so? Few there be that find it. You preach the gospel, people think you have to have your head examined. They laugh at you. They ridicule you. They think you're stupid, you're a fool. Sunday is the day you can catch up with all your week's undone things. With all the times you could not find for your enjoyment of the physical body or the lusts and other things that you like to do. Sunday, the best day. Why are you in church? Stupid. Right. Now, the second point is the Church of Corinth. What do you know about the Church of Corinth? Read Acts of the Apostles chapter 18. Not now, please. Go home and read it, if you're interested. I'm telling you all the same. In the second missionary journey, Paul the Apostle arrived in a place called Corinth. That's a city I showed you just now. And there he found a community of Jews, as well as, of course, the local population, the Greeks. And he began to talk the gospel. Now, it's very hard to speak the gospel to Jews because they have a different thinking. They think they know the best. What are you? You talk of that Jew, our countryman whom we put to the cross, that criminal, we crucified him. Paul spoke the gospel to the Jews. Some were interested. Most ridicule him. And very soon he was cast out by the own Jews. This is the same problem today. Some years ago we had a visitor called Dr. Raymond Sachs, a Jew. He goes around the world every year preaching the gospel, especially he goes to South Africa. And you know what he said? I'm a Jew, he says. I was converted. And my whole ambition is to lead my own family, my brothers and sisters and uncles and aunties to the gospel, to come and believe in Jesus Christ. And you know what? Up to now, nobody will believe. The Jews hate Jesus. So they did in the city of Corinth. They became the enemies of Paul. And they created riot, created difficulties for him. But thank God there are always those whom God has prepared who believe. The Greeks believed. Some Jews, just a few. But out of that came a church. Praise God for those who go. I say, how many of you have ever considered? You read all about Paul, enemy of the gospel, being called, and he gave up and he became a soldier of Christ, soldier of the cross. And see how much God has used him to go on 3 missionary journeys, founding so many churches, saving so many lives, but above all things, writing half of the New Testament. Do you know that? You say, what can I do? I say, what can you do? All of us can do one thing. To go and be a witness. This is what the Lord Jesus told us to do. Before he ascended to heaven, he says, go ye therefore. Because all power on earth and in heaven is given to me. You follow me and be my disciples. You have the benefit of that blessing of power. Go be my witnesses. Are you? How many of us have bothered to tell somebody about Jesus Christ as Paul risked his life in a foreign country, in the city called Corinth, where the people were interested not in gospel, but in pleasures. And there he goes. Would you? Ask yourself. So there is Paul. And out of his preaching, thank God, like good seed, it fell on good soil. A church came about. The church of Corinth. And that is the recipient of 2 letters. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And what we are reading is the book called 2 Corinthians. Turn there again. Please, 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Now for the message proper, beginning from verse 11, is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. What was the content of the letter? Why did he write a letter? Number one, because he could not go. When you can't go, you want to get the message across, you write. He wrote. That is the reason for this writing. He was very concerned because of the news that he received about this church, the church that he founded. And when you found a church, they are like, as it were, your children. You're very concerned for them. And he had heard that this church had become apostate in many ways. You know what is apostate? Falling from the faith. Once you believed all the gospel, but now you have doubts. And you fall away. And not only fall away, fell into various sins. A terrible church. For that reason, Paul wrote this. Verse 11. Oh, you Corinthians, can you sense the kind of mournful note in even as he puts his pen to paper? Oh, you Corinthians, my children in the faith, those who have come to hear the gospel and believe, I worry for you, I pray for you. Our mouth is open to you. We have a lot of things to tell you. And our heart is enlarged. And a large heart is a spiritual term for a very warm heart, full of feeling for you. I'm so concerned for you. That's why I'm writing. Even though your heart is not open to us, you're straitened, you're narrow, you're closed. That is the meaning of this. Verse 13. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak to you. I want to make up for lost time, recompense. I've not been able to come to you, but in place of my person, receive this letter. There is a very important message. And I say the same to someone here today. Perhaps you have backslided like the Corinthian church. And the writer of this letter says, I feel for you. I speak to you like my children. Be also enlarged. May you open your hearts to me. Verse 13. Now comes the crunch, the message, the preliminaries to open the heart. Please understand why I am writing. And I say, dear friends, please understand why I am standing here and talking to you, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, explaining to you the peril you are in. I don't know. Someone may be in that kind of situation. You've abandoned the narrow way and got into the broad way, going the way of the world, running after the mighty dollar. Now, what does Paul have to say? Verses 14, 15, 16 is the crunch, is the heart of the message, is what Paul wants to tell the people. Now we read on. Verse 14. You people in Corinth, in the church, you Corinthian Christians, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Here is a use of an agricultural term. All you people who are engaged in any way in agriculture understand, but who is here in agriculture? I would say almost nobody. But when you go to a country like Australia or New Zealand, you see horses and horses being put to work on the field. In Malaysia, you see oxen. Oxen with oxen. You never see an oxen with a goat or oxen with an ass or something else. Two animals of different nature cannot work together. And this is a figure of speech. Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church. Look, there are those of you who are Christians and you welcome idolaters into your midst. People who worship idols, they are not Christians. Although a lot of Christians, so-called Christians, do today. And they are in that situation. Paul says, be not unequally yoked. It doesn't work at all. No matter what you do, you try it, you find out the truth of this. This is called the unequal yoke. Two animals of two different natures cannot work together. It just does not work in agriculture. In the church, you cannot have a joint prayer meeting and say, let's all come together. And this happened in 1986. This is a historic event. 1986, the call went out from Italy. And all the religious leaders came from Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Shintoism, Buddhism, and all the rest all came to Italy in a place called Assisi. And they all prayed together, about 100 or more representatives of various religions. Here they are. How can you meet and together try to do anything constructive praying to God. God knows all, and He sees all. You have believers trying to yoke with unbelievers. Righteousness with unrighteousness. Light with darkness. Those of us who know the way of God, we are in the light. You read the word of God, it is a light, a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. That's where you go. How can you have fellowship? A Christian married to a Buddhist and said, never mind. Never mind. As long as we can work in the same office, in some similar line, we will be all right. I say, you will not be all right. Your Christian faith and your Christian life will not be all right. There is going to be compromise and sacrifice. How can light be with darkness? How can you put Christ and Belial together? What is Belial? Satan. Plain and simple is another name for Satan. How can the temple of God harmonize with idols? How can you go into a house called a church, the church of God, and there are idols? It is impossible. The word of God says, it just cannot work. And yet it is happening all the time. Please understand, today, in many parts of the world, England, Australia, America, regular meetings and worship services are conducted with so-called Christians, with other religions together. And they call this, I've given you the name, do you know what it is called? Ecumenical movement. What does ecumenism mean? What does it mean? One world joined together. And this is a repeat of the Tower of Babel. This is coming to pass. And Paul says, it cannot work. My dear children in the church of Corinth, I dare say, I trust that it is not necessary and inappropriate for me to say the same words to you today. But only for you to understand that we are a church of Jesus Christ, plain and simple. And we cannot compromise and say, never mind, love. Let's pray for peace. They are idol worshippers. They are Hindus. They are other religions. They are Taoists, Shinto, they are, you know, Judaism. Jews, can the Jew pray with you together and say, we worship the same God? Answer is, it cannot work. Now read on. I read to you verses 14, 15, and 16. Paul says, be not unequally yoked. You members of the church of Corinth, you have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's plain and simple. I have explained it to you. You understand it. But today, because of false teachers, because of your idolatrous background, some of you have lapsed back into idolatry and you feel comfortable to worship together and to serve God together with idolaters. It can never work. Verse 14. What concord has God with Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believes with the infidel? Infidel means one who does not believe. He said, never mind. But that is not the word of God. That is not the truth. Verse 16, the conclusion of this argument. What agreement had the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and this part I can address to all of us here. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your body is temple of the Holy Spirit. Plain and simple. Who says so? God says so. God's word says so. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. And if so, obey the Spirit of God. Obey the Word of God. Obey the law of God. Never allow your body to be used for any immoral or unlawful business. Now what must we do? Verse 16 says, what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in you and walk in you, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. I'm making it personal to ourselves. This is what God says. What is your response? I said, dear friends, thank God there is such a wonderful, wonderful transaction. Whereas once, before I heard the gospel, before I came to receive Jesus Christ, I was in outer darkness, lost and undone, no hope. Now, because of faith in Jesus Christ as a narrow faith, yes, I want to impress on you, it is a narrow faith, it's a narrow way, but it leads to life. And thank God for that way. That leads me to the right church of Jesus Christ, to fellowship with other believers of like precious faith. I have a bright future. Do you know that? You have a great future because you have believed in the one saving, one Savior, Jesus Christ, who alone saves you. And then you have life with God. Now, verse 17 is a command to those Christians in the Corinthian church who were bound with idolaters, bound with unbelievers, and going the way of the world. That is called the ecumenical movement. What does he say? Verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them. You must not be linked with them. Be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you. This is the crunch verse for the Corinthian church. Amen. Verse 18. Concluding our meditation for the morning. Then the word of God says, I will be a father to you, says God. The one who sent his only son, Jesus Christ, for us, in whom we have put our faith and trust, that we can be called Christians, sons of God. Now, verse 18 is yours. Please follow. God says, I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. I have produced a little booklet. It is available in the book room. It is called Guide to 20th Century Apostasy. And it is exactly what you need to read if you want to know more about what we are talking about. About the falling away, like the Corinthian church fell into deep darkness and sins. Today it is the trend with majority of churches, dear friends, is something we have no pleasure in talking about, but necessity demands that we tell you. Get the booklet. It's available in the book room. It is a condensation from 290 pages to 35 pages. Read it and you will weep in your heart for the churches that once were valiant for the faith, today have fallen away. May you stand fast together with us. Be not unequally yoked with those who are unbelievers and say, never mind, never mind. Let's love them. That is not love, that is compromise and that is unbelief. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, may your Spirit teach us thy way, that we may understand thy will, that thy will is a restrictive will, and we must only go with the Lord Jesus Christ in the straight and narrow path that leads to life. Bless your people now, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.